countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, Glenstall Abbey in Moreau, County Limerick, is well known for its monastery and school, both set on a 500-acre estate, which includes a dairy farm. And this year, the farm has been leased while the monks consider how best to farm sustainably into the future. Now, Suzanne Campbell went to meet the monks to talk about their connection to Moreau, their spiritual life there, and the value they place on their connection to the natural world. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
How did you get on? What is Glenstall Abbey like?
It is fantastic. It's like something from the movies. It's a huge, solid-built castle, big, long avenue of 1 kilometre up to it. And as you go up the avenue, you'll see beautifully paddocked, beautifully fenced paddocked areas with cattle, with cows, with young calves being reared, and a very good farm as well. But yeah. It's also famous for its trees. It has several lakes, one which provides geothermal heating. It has a walled garden with plants from the Bible. It's a huge, very, very diverse and very interesting place. And the monks, there's 32 in the community now. They're Benedictines, so they live by the Benedictine rule. So they have prayers in the church 4 times a day, the first one at 6:30 in the morning. They have mass at midday. They have vespers at 6 p.m, which are the hymns sung in Latin, very beautiful. And they've another service at about 8 at night. And a lot of visitors go there, and people enjoy it. In terms of its outreach, is enormous. Thousands came. I mean, last year they had 4,500 visitors who stayed at the abbey, and also about the same in day visitors. And its history is really interesting. I first met with Brother Coleman looking out from the front of the castle into the Golden Vale, this beautiful part of East Limerick and West Tipperary and bits of Cork as well, beautiful land. And he told me all about the origins of the abbey.
Basically, we're looking out across the Golden Vale here, and you can see the Galtee Mountains in the background with the Galtee Moor there. So you're looking out at the most fertile agricultural land in the country, as most of your listeners will know. And in many ways, that's the reason why there has been a settlement here for nearly 1,000 years at this stage. The land on which Glenstall was built in the 12th century was granted to an English Cistercian monastery to establish monastic life here in the 1180s. And that monastery continued until the dissolution of the monasteries in 1540. And it then passed successively into the hands of 3 Anglo-Irish families, the last of whom were a family called the Barringtons. And it's the Barringtons who are responsible then for the shape of Glenstall as we have it today, both in terms of the building which you see here behind us, the castle, Glenstall Castle, but also for the planting and for the magnificent estate grounds that we have here. We have the planting books for the 1820s from here. So between 1822 and 1829, something like 900,000 trees were planted here.
My goodness.
Yep. One of the sayings, the ancient sayings to describe a monk, is that he's a lover of the brethren and of the place. And there's a sense in which when you enter a monastery, you enter that specific monastery. To be a monk here is to be a monk of Glenstall. Mm-hmm. And there's a sense in which you do become lovers of the brethren and of the place. It grows on you. The landscape becomes part of you. The rhythm of life here becomes part of you. The monks actually didn't live in the castle for very long, because once we opened the school in 1932, it became necessary to convert the interior of the castle to facilitate the boys. So very quickly we moved over into the stable area.
And was this always the stable area?
This was always the stable area.
It's a very glamorous stable area.
Well, now it only looks it. It was very much a facade for the Barringtons, because we've actually punched through windows there to light the rooms.
It really is something like out of a movie. If listeners haven't been here, it's so solid. 4 towers and the great studded door. It's like something from Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Have you seen Game of Thrones?
I have seen a very avid Game of
Thrones. Really?
Yes, horrified at the ending of it.
Are monks allowed to watch Game of Thrones?
Well, we watch it, so whether we're allowed or not.
I've never seen Game of Thrones, have to admit. But anyway, we'll move on. You stayed there.
I stayed there. I stayed in a little hut in the woods called a God Pod.
All on your own?
All on my own. There's 2 of these. If you don't like branches scratching in the wood of the ceiling in the middle of the night, I like Wuthering Heights, don't go there. But you can stay in the guest house, which is right beside the abbey, and you have dinner with the monks. You eat in silence, and you have 2 or 3 meals a day with the other guests. And people typically come there to go to services or on retreat, or actually just to get away. And it is really and I know this probably isn't the right word, they have a very secular, worldly outlook. The word retreat to them is people are retreating from all sorts of things. And the Benedictine Code was to welcome people who want to come and who want a different pace of their life, even for a day, for 2 days, for however long. So I stayed there for 2 days and I thought it was absolutely fabulous. But I have young children, so you can understand. I loved it. I spoke to Brother Brendan, and he's the abbot of Glenstall. And I asked him precisely this, like the people that come, what attracts them to monastic life, the visitors, but also the people that live there, the monks. And you'll hear in this clip the Latin Psalms, which are sung at Vespers every evening at six, a really beautiful part of the day.
Monks live monastic life, which is a life, for most monastic orders, it's a life based on the rule of Saint Benedict. So, for example, in Ireland, the Benedictines and the Trappists would be the ones people would be most familiar with. They would all be in the Benedictine tradition in that they all follow the rule of Saint Benedict. Benedict's idea is really a very simple one. It's to seek God. So he says, when a novice comes to the monastery, the question that you ask yourself about whether this candidate is a good candidate for monastic life or not is whether or not this individual seeks God. And that's what monastic life is about, the quest for God. And then those living a monastic life live together in a community, in a monastery. And then the monastery becomes a centre, a place where other people come who are not living monastic life but want to share in it for a while or to just soak up the environment, and they can dip in and out, and a lot of people do that. And it's very free like that. There's no expectation put on anyone who comes. They can do as much or as little as they want, but they sense something in the place. And that's not just about the physical place, it's about what happens in it. There's a sort of a calmer rhythm of life here. And people pick that up, and a lot of people find that attractive. And the fact that we're still following it over 1,500 years later is in itself an indication that there's something to this. No, it does work.
Now, the community, of course, have a dairy farm, but we know that last year the Pope's encyclical on climate change called Laudato Si, it called for action, you know, Catholics and Christians everywhere to act and save Earth, our common home. So the dairy farm on the estate, it's been leased for a year and the monks are making a decision now about its long-term future. So I asked Father Simon, one of the monks who looks after the bees and is very interested in sustainability and these issues, what will drive that longer plan for the farm?
Here are the bees.
How many hives do you keep?
I've got about 7 or 8 honey producing at the moment.
And you have such a wealth of flowers and plants and trees here.
Well, that's always the assumption people make when they come to Glenstall, that this place must be a mecca, you know. But in fact, a lot of the plants that look so attractive to us are not attractive to bees. All these rhododendrons and azaleas are actually poisonous, some of them.
Goodness.
They cause paralysis in bees, some of the rhododendrons. And anyway, the bright coloured flowers, they're using colour to attract insects. They're not producing honey. It's the flowers that you don't notice, like the ivy flowers in October, September, and the clover that's coming out now. This is the peak time, and the bramble. The insignificant flowers have a different option to attract insects. They use nectar.
So in fact, it's the small stuff that really counts. You know, as a community and as Benedictines, is that important to you as well? This relationship with nature and how we're losing it in a way?
Well, it's very important to me, certainly. And I think, like everybody else, we're becoming more aware of it. And all our practices, we've 500 acres here. Ecological principles must inform all our decisions at this point.
The Abbey had a farm here for a long time.
Yeah.
And I know recently you've leased it out. Is that a dilemma? Yeah. In a way, because it's a commercial dairy farm, it's very well run. How do you make that work?
Yeah, it's a big dilemma for me, and it was leased for 1 year to give us time to consider what principles should inform our leasing of this land. Because one of the things that really concerns me is the removal of hedgerows in so many dairy farms now, and these vast green deserts developing where there isn't even a dandelion, no other species. And my worry is that one day we're going to wake up and see the cows, and the cows will be looking at us, and we'll say to each other, well, where has everything else gone? Where are the rabbits? Where are the butterflies? Where's the hedgehogs? Where are the bees? They've all gone. You can't bring them back. You know, we are a species among species. We're not the dominant owners of this planet. We share it with many other organisms. It's not a moral, it's not an economic, it's a spiritual issue for me. It's a question of our identity. Do we dominate this planet, live it in that way, or do we live as part of this planet? Our own psychology and our well-being is dependent on the planet. Most people now still just about know that, but we need to hold on to it, that the Earth and our habitat, our beautiful country, has to be preserved.
Some wise words there indeed. Suzanne Campbell, thank you indeed for that beautiful report there from Glenstall Abbey.